I'm just glad, just as I said, I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad to have a chance to speak to you, glad to feel a little more sincerity here tonight. Still, don't feel what I'd like to, but I feel sincerity, and that's what matters to God. Now then, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me tonight over to the book of Matthew's in the 25th chapter. And I've already felt God's anointing here tonight, so I know that He's here. And I feel a hunger tonight that I haven't been feeling. And I don't think it's for food. I know a lot of you have been fasting, but I don't really think it's for food. When you fast, you don't really get hungry for food. It looks like you're hungry for food, but after you eat one meal, you just filled up, and then you find there's a spiritual hunger, that something you're thirsting after that you can't explain. And you know the best way in the world to tell what a person is to search out their desires and their hunger. If they don't have a hunger for God, then they're not a Christian. If the Bible said, if the love of the world, which means the hunger of the world, or the hunger for material things, if the love of the world is within you, then the love of God, or the hunger for fasting, or the hunger for prayer, or the hunger for God's Word is not in you. So you can always tell what a person is by their hunger. And I said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I've got a hunger and I've got a thirst tonight after righteousness. For over 10 years I've hungered and I thirst after the righteousness of God. And even though I felt an overflow, David said, my cup runs over still. I hunger and I thirst for God. I enjoy the Word of God. But friend, let me tell you something. For many, many years, God has had preachers and God has had teachers to teach you and I the natural or the literal Word. To give us the printed Word, for without a formula, a child in school cannot find the unknown or the invisible. What teacher would give a child a problem or would ask a child a question that he might give her an answer of a problem when she's never given him the problem to work? And so it is God, the invisible God that has an invisible world. He gives us allegories and types and shadows that we might use the formula to find the invisible answer with. And for many years He's taught us the natural Word. He's taught us by types and shadows. And the Bible tells us that all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things that do appear. Now then, what does He mean, Brother Pike? All the invisible things of God. Paul said He's the invisible God. All the invisible things of God from the beginning of the world. Everything that's invisible, that's spiritual. He said there is a type, there is an antitype, there is a type and a shadow, there is an allegory. But He said the natural-minded man just can't receive the things of God. A carnal mind can't receive the things of God. But He said he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and that He tells us that they are spiritually discerned. We ever get revelation, we've got to get some spiritual discernment. We've got to look at something as though it was spiritual and see it as though it was spiritual. Now, for instance, tonight, the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But He said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God. And He said, yea, the deep things. And then He commanded us to lunge out into the deep. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, if you don't watch out, you'll go off on the deep end. That's the end I want to go off on, is lunge out into the deep. I want to get off in the deep end and see what God's got for us. I tell you right now, it's time that we got out into the deep waters of God. I made the statement just a little bit ago. I said, Lord, I said, I pray that you'll anoint the atmosphere around us. Now, to a natural mind, that's foolishness. But the Bible said Satan is the prince, or he is the ruler of the powers that are in the air. That means that in the air, there is a power that's in the air. There's demon spirits that's in the air. And Satan is the prince of the powers that's in the air. He's the ruler over those powers. And the Bible said those powers work in the mind of the children of disobedience.
So it is when we come into the church, unless we've hallowed it, unless we've sanctified it, unless we've reverenced it, then we've let demons into the house of God. And when we come in there, then we've got a cold, hard atmosphere. But if we hallow it, if we sanctify it, the atmosphere is cleansed and God will drive the demons away. And he can say to you, the place wherein thou standest is holy. It's no wonder we have such a hard time when we get up here to get the anointing of God. It's no wonder you have such a hard time feeling the anointing of God. It's because we fail to reverence the sanctuary of Almighty God. But let us pray. Let God drive away the demons. Let's create an atmosphere of holiness. Let the Holy Spirit move. Then we'll feel something from God and we'll know that God is in our midst, and that's what we need to do. Hallelujah. I want you to read with me tonight from over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. I wonder if we could have a little water tonight. One of them would get us a glass of water. Reading tonight from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I want to begin at the first verse. And I want you to pull on the heartstrings of God tonight. And I want you to draw the virtue of Christ tonight. Through this member, as I try in my humble way to speak to you, that the mind of Christ might take over and speak to you from this human body. I want you to ask God tonight to create a drawing that you might pull forth the anointing of God and get the revelation of Jesus Christ tonight. Be sincere in your heart. If you want to do something for God, be sincere. Be godly sincere tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Did you know when you don't have a sincere heart, it hinders the Holy Spirit. It hinders Him. It's a demon spirit that hinders the Holy Spirit. Be sincere. God knows the thoughts of your heart tonight. He knows why you say a thing. He knows before you think a thing. And the Bible said if you'll just tune your heart into heaven, it'll come to pass that He'll hear before you ever speak. So then tonight, be sincere before God and don't be a hindrance to the Word of the Lord. 25th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and to you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After which came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now then, I want you to notice this tonight as we back up here a little bit. Notice here in the 6th verse. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now then, do you realize tonight that there must be a time when a midnight cry is given, and the midnight cry must be, go ye out to meet him. A lot of you remember reading in school how that a man by the name of, I believe it was Paul Revere, how that he made the midnight ride, the types and shadows and allegories just before the enemy pounced upon him. He was awake and he was alert, and at that hour he made the midnight ride,
And it was because he was alert and because he was watching that at the midnight hour when he made that ride, he gave the great cry and he began to say, the enemy is coming. And they began to rise up at the midnight hour. They began to rise up in the darkness and they made themselves ready and they went out to fight against the enemy because somebody had been watching. Somebody was alert. Somebody, God had ordained somebody to give a midnight cry. Somebody that could stir the people. And because of that, he began to save the nation, stirring them at the last hour. And here the Lord tells us, as he begins to speak of the virgins in his parables here, he says, there will be somebody at the midnight hour. I will appoint somebody that shall arise at the midnight hour, and they shall give the midnight cry, and the cry shall be, go ye out to meet him, for the bridegroom cometh. Remember this, friend, the Jew was God's chosen people. They were people that God had ordained for a purpose, and they were God's chosen body, and God stayed with them in human flesh and walked with them. He appeared unto them in the body of Moses, and then when Jesus came, he appeared unto them in the body of Jesus. And then it's ordained that in the last days that a prophet will go before Israel, and he will appear unto them again in human flesh. Now then, let's get our thoughts together tonight as we try to visualize this midnight cry that we're speaking of here tonight. Remember, in the days of Moses, he was a Messiah unto the Jewish people. He was a type of God the Father, and he was a Messiah unto the Jewish people. And God said, Moses, I've made you a God unto Aaron. And he was a Messiah of his day, and God manifested himself to the world in that hour by his servant Moses. Moses was born the proper child, and they knew he was a proper child. He was a man that was sent from God, and God ordained him for that hour, and he manifested himself to the people through Moses in that hour. And then there came the day when the Lord Jesus came to the earth, and God began to manifest himself to the world, no longer to Jews, no longer as the law, no longer as God the Father, the Creator, but as the Son of God, as grace, as one that would take in all the world, that whosoever that calleth upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And so it was again, we see God who is the Spirit manifesting himself through the Messiah of that age. He was manifesting himself through Jesus to all the world. And then we see, as the Lord went on away, then there came this age. And we see the man by the name of William Branham, the Messiah of our age. We see him as the anointed one. Messiah means anointed one. And we see him as the anointed one of our age. We see God manifesting himself to this generation by the man William Branham, giving us a leader in this day, giving him a leader in the day of Moses, giving him a leader in the days of Christ, and in this hour, friend. Then we see the Lord Jesus Christ standing and talking with us in the body of William Branham in this day, and the power of Almighty God is moving among us, and the dead is being resurrected, and the heavens are being touched by this great prophet of this hour. He's the man that's born the proper child. When he was born, there was a halo about his head. And even in this day, the halo is still there, moving with him, the same pillar of fire that moved with Moses. It moved with Jesus. It's moving with our brother Branham in this day. What is it? It's God's hour for us to be called to repentance. It's God's time, friend, when we've got to get straightened out and get the little isms and things out of our life and get away from the things of this world and come to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. What does it mean? Listen real carefully. God is a spirit. You can't see God with your natural eyes. Bible said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. The world can only receive what they see. But they can't receive the Holy Ghost because they can't see him. But the Bible said the pure in heart would see God. He said the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. and you'd be able to see God through the eyes of your understanding. You could comprehend the heights and the depths and the wisdom of God. And so it is. We see in this day as the Lord is coming to us. We see as He's calling to us. And we see the rapture fixing to take place. Remember this, the word millennium, the word rapture, those are man-made applications. The word initial, evidence, that's a man-made application. There's no such word in the Bible as initial evidence. No such word as millennium. No such word as rapture in the Bible. But instead, in the place of rapture, Paul said a change. A change. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality. And then shall we be caught up to meet God. Just as the woman goes through the change of life, you and I as the church, we are moving through a change of life. We've come to that hour, friend, when we are moving away from the hour of travail. There has been a time of fasting. There has been a time of praying. There has been a time of revival. There has been a time of searching. But we are leaving that hour of travail. We are going through the change of life. We are moving toward the glories of God. We are leaving behind the hours of travail, the birth of the nation, and we are beginning to be changed. As He said, we're moving toward that glorified body, moving on toward God coming into the fullness of the image of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Now then we see William Branham, like in the days of Moses, we see Moses as he stood there, and as the God gave him the revelation, as God gave him the anointing of the hour, and how that He took a people out of a people. How that He went down in Egypt with signs and wonders and miracles and stood before Pharaoh, and He drawed the Jews from among the Egyptians and took them out into a body all by themselves. And then we see Jesus coming in His day, and He did the very same thing. He showed forth grace, and He brought believers unto Him through the blood. And then we see Him this last day when a man has risen up and the revelation of God is breaking forth in this age. And we see William Branham as a type of Jesus Christ as the Messiah coming to the body, the head coming to the body, the capstone coming to the pyramid, the revelation coming to the church. And we see the people. We see that the lost sheep are among the people. We see that there is a bride that's among the church world. We see people out yonder the rims of denomination. But then we hear the voice of God begin to speak, and the revelation goes forth, and the spiritual man begins to discern, and the revelation begins to draw. What is it? It's the rapture taking place in the spirit. It's God's mind rapturing the spirits that's subject to it, and rapturing them out of denominations, rapturing them out of doctrines and ideals and theology, rapturing them into the revelation of Jesus Christ, rapturing their mind and their spirit out of carnality, out of the desires of this world, and in turn speaking to us through His word, saying that you're not of this world, even as I am not of this world, but I've chosen you out of the world, and you're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of the restitution or the change of the body. It's taking place in this hour. The Bible said concerning the parable, it was at the early morning that He went out and He hired people into the vineyard. And then there came the third hour. And He went out and He hired people into the vineyard. There came the ninth hour. And He went out and He hired people into the vineyard. Then there came forth the 11th hour. Just before the midnight cry was given, He went out one more time and He hired people into the vineyard just before the midnight cry. They were still coming into the vineyard. I want you to know that there came a time when God began to say that it's finished. It's over. In His parables, He began to illustrate and say there would be an hour when God would close the door to the Gentile world, and that they'd not be able to get into the revelation, and they'd be shut out in their carnal thinking, in their carnal desires, in their carnal world, in their carnal life. But the Spirit of God would draw them that are in the revelation into the body of Christ and into the rapture of the powers of Almighty God. You can't join this church. There's no
no way you can join this church. There's no way you can put your name on a roll and get in this church. You can join denominations. You can join the churches of the world. But brother, when you get into this, you're born into it by the Spirit and the power of God's own revelation. You come in through the doorway, Jesus Christ, into this great body. You become a member of this body by divine birth, and there's no other way that you can get into it. So it is we find here the midnight cry approaching. And then the cry was given. Go ye out to meet him, because the bridegroom has cometh. Then I want you to get a picture of it. Here we see the foolish virgins were rejected. We see the virgins with the oil in their lamp. And they all slumbered and slept at the midnight cry. The wise virgins had gone to sleep. The foolish virgins had gone to sleep. Have you noticed in the day that we're living in, even the wise virgins are asleep. They're asleep. They're not working anymore. Jesus told them one time, he said, work while it's day. He said, for soon the night will come, and then no man can work. What was he talking about? Work while you have the daylight, he said, because soon the teachings of Catholicism is coming in, and he calls that the darkness. When he said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light, he said, there's coming the teachings of the Antichrist. There's coming an Antichrist to rule a world of anti-types and shatters, but we are not anti-beings. We are true Holy Ghost-filled beings, eternal beings, that's going to be under a true Christ to rule and reign forever with him. And here it is, we find that the virgins are asleep. They're asleep at this hour. They've gone to sleep. The wise virgins have gone to sleep. And the foolish virgins have gone to sleep. All of them gone to sleep. What is it? It's the teachings of Catholicism that's coming. It's that teaching that says just believe and you can be saved. It's a teaching that where there's no work, the priest takes care of all of it. And so it is, they get into a lull state of lethargy. And they don't do anything. And they go to sleep spiritually, like the disciples did on Jesus in the garden when he really needed them. They've all gone to sleep. You talk to them about God, they say, well, all you have to do is believe. But the Bible said the devil believes there's a God. If you believe he said you do well, the devil believes. And he trembles every time he thinks about it. But James said, oh man, do you know? Do you know that faith without works is dead? You can't get into the kingdom of God just by believing. So it is here. He speaks to him, and this is what he told him. He said, there is 12 hours in the day. There is 12 hours in the day. And there's also 12 hours in the night. There's 12 hours in the day. And he said, while you have the daylight, church, work. Or they'll cast you out of the synagogue for my name's sake. They'll call you heretics, and no man can work the works of God when the powers of darkness take over. And he said, work while you have the 12 hours. What is the 12 hours of our day? We know that the Jews is the 12 hours of the night. We know that they're God's clock and that they go through the tribulation and the darkness. They were cast into outer darkness here as it speaks of the foolish virgins. They were cast into outer darkness, the Bible said, out of the light of God's word, out of the light of God's knowledge, because they rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They went into outer darkness, and they stand around the wailing walls of Jerusalem crying day and night, seeking the way back in. He said, the children of the kingdom, speaking of the Jews, he said, they'll be cast into outer darkness, and they'll have to look and see if them come from the east, and come from the west, and come from the north and the south, and sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom, and you yourself shall be cast out. And so it was, the Jews being cast out of the kingdom, when they were the chosen children of the kingdom, and then they came from the east, and they came from the west, and the Bible said, God translated them into the marvelous kingdom, and they had to look on while they're out there in the regions of darkness. But there must come a time when God will call for those people and bring them to the light of his word. Bible said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but the resurrection or life from the dead? So it is, he's turning back to the Jews in this hour, friend. He's turning back to the Jews. Here we see, he said, there's 12 hours in the day. We don't have to wonder about the 12 hours of the night.
We know the Jews keep time in the night. We know they're in the darkness and they're keeping time in the darkness. But we find that the 12 apostles is the daylight hours. We find the teaching of the 12 apostles is the 12 hours of the day. And we find that this is the daylight church, and we've got the daylight teachings of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, of the teachings of one God. And he said, work while that teaching is in the land, for someday said that teaching will be removed, and the teachings of darkness shall come in, and he shall cover all the world. The Trinitarian teaching shall sweep over the world. The teaching of the Catholic Church shall hover over the world, and gross darkness shall fill the earth, and there will be no light. No light left. Which reminds me, in coming to this place, how that our brother Branham, not so long ago, he drawed seven different settings of the moon, and he showed in each moon a little bit of light. And while he was in the tabernacle, about 300 people were there, and they began to look at these drawings that he had, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit swept into the room and he illuminated the building with the glory of God, and he made the picture of those moons on the walls just as the prophet Adam drawn. But when he got to the last one, he didn't leave any light at all in it. The prophet made one mistake. He put some light in the last one, but God said there's no light to a sinful and an adulterous generation. He didn't leave any light. And then when the Pope went over to the Holy Land, you saw it in the paper how that the moon went into eclipse when he went over there, how the seven stages of it appeared, and in the last one there was no light. The photographers could not even take a picture of it because it had gone into the night. What did it mean? Going to make that covenant that Daniel spoke about with the Jews, showing the end of the world was here. Going over to show the midnight cry had come around. And it was when Kennedy went into office back down in about the year 60, when he went into office. You remember how that about 3 years later, when he was shot out in Dallas, they published a picture in the paper of the white horses and of the black horses. How many remember seeing that? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, it's Protestantism going out and Catholicism coming in. He said, it's light leaving and darkness coming in. And so it was, the first Catholic president we'd ever had in the history of the world. And when the darkness came in, the light went out. We know that for a fact. The light went out and the darkness came in. What is it? The midnight cry is being given in. And the Bible tells us that at that hour, all of them were asleep. They had failed to stay awake, and all of them had got in the darkness and gone to sleep. Look at the church world out yonder. They've gone to sleep. They've gone to sleep. But the Bible said at the midnight hour, the cry was given. The cry was given, and those that had all arose and trimmed their lamps. I was looking just the other day. Notice here in Look magazine, I believe it is, how that the Negro is rising up in this hour. Remember in the garden, and the enemy came, and Judas led the enemy against him. How that he said, this is the hour of darkness. This is your hour of triumph. This is the hour of darkness. I don't mean this critically toward the Negroes. The Negroes is equal to the white, whether you want to accept it or not, they are. Bible said God's made all men equal. He's placed the same blood within their veins as in yours. All of them are the same in spite of all the trouble that we're having. And God the Spirit dwells in their blood veins just like he does in yours. And if you can't fellowship them, you think yourself better than Almighty God. Friend, I want you to know that those Negroes, they can't help the way that God places them in the world no more than you can. And in types and shadows and allegories, they represent the demons of the bottomless pit. And Martin Luther King, though he doesn't know a thing about it, he's an allegory of the devil leading those powers, the prince of the powers, and he's leading them because it's the hour of darkness. What are they doing? You say they want equal rights. That's not what they want. The powers of Satan are moving them, and they're moving right on. Where are they going to? They're going toward the White House. They're trying to get control of the president. They're trying to get control of the nation because the spiritual allegories of God show that they've got to do it. Yes. Satan has got to take over this world. Yes. And the hour of darkness has come. And they're rising up. And you remember there's three major men in the earth. Our brother Branham is one of them, is the type of the Holy Ghost, and Old Roberts is one of them, is a type of the Son of God, and Billy Graham is one of them, as a type of the Father. Billy Graham's message doesn't save the world, but it gives them a knowledge of sin that they might be condemned in the day of judgment because they know to do good and won't do it. Those people will never repent and serve God. It's just to give them a knowledge that they'll be condemned. Old Roberts is preaching a message of faith, while Billy Graham preaches the law. Old Roberts is preaching a message of faith, and he's drawing the people to him, but it's the church world that he's drawing, and they'll go right into the National Council of Churches, right into the National Council of Churches, and right into the Great Tribulation if it was not for the mercy of God. Then we see Brother William Branham, a type of the Holy Ghost, as he calls to the bride, as he woos the bride, as he gives revelation to the bride, drawing the bride away for that rapture, that they might not stay in this world. Now, I want you to understand this tonight, friend. Brother Roberts is doing a great work in his own field, and Billy Graham is, and God's ordained it, and we can't change it. I want you to notice this one thing, that Old Roberts is drawing his people into the Trinitarian teaching. Though some of them are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll go into the National Council of Churches because they parallel the Jew, and whatever happens to the Jew must happen to them. And just as the Jew will make that covenant, they'll make that covenant. They'll make that covenant just as the Jew will make the covenant. And then in that hour when the Christ has begun to fall, then the Jews' eyes shall be opened, and they shall see that they've crucified the Son of God, and God will redeem them. And those that are of honest heart, that's with Old Roberts and the other great leaders, that go in there, God will open their eyes in time. Those true honest-hearted people, before the mark of the beast is given, but they are headed for the National Council of Churches because they refuse to receive the bride message. Yes. Now then, we see a man we call the Pope, the Antichrist, rising up, one of the major men of the earth. Where is he going? He's going just as straight as he can toward the White House, working to get control, making the government to cause church to be overstate, yes, working just like they did when they put Kennedy in office. Where is Martin Luther King going as a type of the devil, going right to the president? Where did Einstein go? A man that's a type of the spiritual things. He discovered the formula that unlocked the heavens. A type of the false prophet. These men type out three things. Martin Luther King types out the devil. And the Pope types out the Antichrist. And Einstein typed out the false prophet that could call fire down from heaven. Just types and shatters. As we see these things working, where did they go? Every one of them went to the White House and to the president. Look at Martin Luther King. He's got the president on his side. Look at the Pope. He's got the president on his side. Look at science. They got the president on their side as they shoot rockets toward the moon and waste the money of the people. All three powers working to get control of the world as types and shadows. Why? Because it's the midnight hour. It's the hour of darkness. What is happening? He told them in one place, he said, if any man try to climb up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He said, if you try to come up here without the wedding garment, which is called the righteousness of the saints, he said, you'll be bound and you'll be cast into that outer darkness. Then he said, there's people that don't want to go by the word, which is the door, but they're trying to get up another way through doctrines and disciplines and through all kind of manifestations. But what is it? They don't want to have the righteousness of the saints. They don't want to live a life of holiness, which is the righteousness of the saints. They don't want to present themselves as the body of Christ, which is the righteousness of the saints. But they want to climb up some other way. But what did he say? He said, when you get into these spiritual realms out of here, you're going to be bound with demons of insanity. You're going to be bound with demons of cancer. You're going to be bound with demons of TB. You can't go through those spiritual realms toward God without getting bound unless you've got the mind of Jesus Christ. And he said you'd be cast to where? You'll be cast into the teachings of Catholicism, into the outer darkness. You'll wind up in that Catholic Church. You'll go with the rest. The Bible tells us all of them be bundled up into bundles, the tares. Yes. Gather the wheat into his garners. But the tares will be bound into bundles of denominationalism. And then all together, they'll be cast over into the National Council of Churches, which is a type of the lake of fire. Yes. They that are burned in their lust, one toward another. The Bible speaks of people as waters. and waters his people. And when you say lake of fire, you speak of people in types and shadows. They'll be cast with that group of people into the lake of fire or into the lake of lust, burn in their lust one toward another, in the spiritual powers of the outer darkness to be controlled by. What is it? It's the hour when God is calling his people. It's the hour when that last trump is beginning to sound, when the trump of God's coming forth, as he said, to lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. And the trump of God, which is the voice of Jesus Christ, is beginning to sound through the land. And he said, when it sounded, the mysteries of God would be finished. Every one of them would be unlocked. Everything would be uncovered, and there wouldn't be anything else hid. But the church would understand the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of all of these things, the mystery of the kingdom. He said, it's not given unto the world to know these mysteries, but unto you it's given. And all these mysteries are being unraveled at the sounding of the last trump that's breaking forth in the land. They're beginning to be unraveled. What does it mean? He said, at that last hour when that trump sounded, all of these mysteries would be unraveled. And at that sounding of that last trump, what did he say? He said, the dead in Christ shall rise. When the trump began to sound, he said, they that have an ear to hear, let them hear the trump. They that are dead in Christ, they that sleep in Christ, let them come forth to the words of life and the words of resurrection, that they might go away in the rapture with Christ Jesus. As can you hear? Do you have an ear to hear? Can you come forth to the words of life tonight? My words are spirit in their life. He said, and they that are in the grave shall hear. Didn't he? They that are in the grave shall hear. And he said, they that hear shall come forth unto life. I said the other night, I'm glad I'm not among the tombs. I'm glad I'm not like Legion tonight. Out yonder among the tombs, the whitest sepulchres that's full of dead men's bones, wandering to and fro. But I'm glad I'm hid with Christ in God tonight. I'm glad I'm sitting together with him in heavenly places tonight. I'm glad I'm receiving of the Lord tonight. What is it? Have you noticed that these virgins at this last hour, the foolish virgins, are beginning to rise up and shake themselves? God is giving a call. God is giving a cry. The midnight cry is going forth. And those that have the Holy Ghost are beginning to rise up and have a revival. They're beginning to rise up and shake themselves. I don't mean a revival like they have out yonder in the world. I wish we had time to go into those things tonight, but we don't. Not a revival like they had in the world, but a revival of revelation. Yes. A revival of the Spirit, a revival of revelation. It's beginning to come forth, friend. It's beginning to present itself and come forth. And that revival is coming there, trimming their lamps, and the light is beginning to show. The light of God's Word is beginning to show itself, but the foolish virgins. I noticed in a magazine while I was out in California, a great big picture of the Episcopal Church, I believe it was. Great big picture in the magazine there. I looked at it, and I noticed that in that magazine that the Episcopal preachers was laying hands on the people, and they were being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. I noticed that they were praying for the sick. What is it? The foolish virgins are rising up, and they're trying to get this all. And have you noticed that they're mixing with the Pentecostal people? Have you noticed that? Mixing with the Pentecostal people, what are they doing? They're saying, give us of your all. They're saying, let us get in with that Pentecostal group. Let us speak in tongues. Give us of your all. But the Bible said their lamps are going out. What are the Pentecostal people doing? The Pentecostal people are saying, you're too late. The revival's over. The revival's over to you. It's too late. Too late. I only have enough for myself. I can't pray you through. I can't get you through. I've got just enough to hold on for myself. What is it? At the last hour. The last hour. They're all rising up. Now, what is the final analysis? Oh, it's so beautiful tonight if you can see it. What is the final analysis? Here the spiritual revelation is drawing the people out of the denominations. It's drawing the people out of their isms. The spiritual revelation is drawing the bride out. And one goes after the revelation and leaves doctrine. Another goes after the revelation and leaves doctrine. Another comes after the revelation and leaves isms. What is it? It's the rapture. God's getting the bride out. He's drawing those wise virgins in. He's bringing them in, the wheat into the garners. As he's drawing them in, what is he doing? He's shutting the door in the face of the others. And there, though they're shouting, though they're screaming, though they're doing all those things, yet they can't find the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation says the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave unto John and his servants to show the people.
They can't find that revelation. What is it? We are being raptured, friend. We are being raptured. What's the next thing? A change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, before we can bat our eyes, changed and caught up out of this world to meet Christ. I'm going to try to come to a close. Haven't said near what I'd like to tonight, but I just want to try to come to a close. Now, for you that don't know, some of you do, the prophet of our day, the Messiah of our day, when I say Messiah, it means anointed one. Nobody takes the place of Jesus. Let me clarify this if I can. The Lord appears the second time, or rather, Christ comes the second time without sin unto salvation. To them that look for Him, He appears to them. He appears to them. He appears in their thought, in the eyes of their understanding, with salvation. He appears to the church, but He's coming in judgment in the clouds of glory, and every eye is going to see Him. When He comes, that's going to be judgment, but He's appearing to us, rapturing us away. And He's appearing in this hour, the spiritual God in the body of William Branham. He's appearing as well as in His church. He's appearing in William Branham as a type of the head coming to the body. Because He cannot come back in a corporal body or the body that was once corporal. He cannot come back in that body till the final analysis. So He's appearing in the body of William Branham as the spiritual God. And then when that ministry is finished and He gathers the saints to Him, those that are spiritual beings, then He will appear in that corporal body. He will appear then that the world might see Him, and then these bodies will be changed. For then the work in the corporal will start. Now what is it? For you that don't know, that prophet has already predicted and published, it's in book form, that the millennium reign will begin by the year of 1977. He hath predicted it, that it will begin by the year of 1977, based on seven visions that he had of Mussolini, of Hitler, and of the Catholic Church, and of the disobedience of women, and of this world being blown up. On those few things he's based these visions. Now, I'd like to say this, or base this prediction. While I was in California just a few weeks ago, the Lord talked to me as high as 7 and 8 hours a day. This went on for a week or so. He kept me awake all night long one night. He talked to me until my body almost broke down. That's right. If I had time to go into it, I'd tell you just how He showed me that my body was fixing to break down. Even though I could feel it and tell you, He stopped me. He spoke to me, and He showed me some things that I've related to the others that I don't have time to go in tonight. Might mention them another night. But everything that He showed me pointed toward the year of 66 and 67 for the rapture, right in there. I was telling some brethren about it, and a brother told me, said, did you know that the same star that crossed its orbit back in when Jesus was born, it crossed its orbit when William Branham was born? And did you know that it'll cross its orbit again about the year 66? I don't know that for a fact. This is what he told me. And then I found out that the prophet of our day had made the statement that the year 63 by our calendar is the year 70 by the Jews' calendar. And my prediction for 70 and things winding up, his prediction also came in the year 70 when you run it back to 63. If the year 63 is 70, then 77 would fall in the year of 70. And the church has to go out 3.5 years before that. That would make it fall around the year 66, or between 66 and 67. Now, I don't know that we're going to be raptured, but I say that everything God showed me pointed to that time. And what the prophet says points back to that time as near as I can tell. If that be so, and we're here in the year of 65, then all I can say is we're at the midnight hour, friend. The midnight cry is being given. And it's time that you begin to rise up and go out to meet the bridegroom and get filled with the oil of God. If you've got it in your vessels, remember this, they all went to sleep. There was one difference. Some went to sleep without the oil, but some had the Holy Ghost when they entered into this age of lethargy. God have mercy on you that don't. The tribulation is waiting for you out yonder. The tribulation is waiting for you to teach you obedience by the things you suffered because you paid no attention to the preacher. You paid no attention to the word. To you it was just another sermon. But the others sat and they listened with ears to hear. They didn't mock and they didn't laugh, but they listened. And every word they felt that it had to be just as God said it. Every word of it they had to have it. Friend, I hope that you've listened. I hope that you've heard the preachers. I hope you've paid attention to that fivefold ministry that God speaks of that's set for the perfecting of the saints. I hope you've done it. Let's stand together, will you? We're at the end of the way. While out in California, one night after church had been preaching, we went over to a store they call Foodland to get some groceries or milk, something to eat or drink. And I noticed that I got there real late, and it was just before 12 o'clock. When I got to the door and started in, there was a policeman standing there. Remember, everything is a type and a shadow, if you can spiritually discern it. As I walked in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and the policeman was standing beside the door just like this. I got in. But I barely got in. And as I got in, I looked, and it was just before 12 o'clock. They closed at midnight. No more food after midnight. I don't know where you can understand spiritually what I'm saying or not. No more milk after midnight. No more meats after midnight. Nothing to eat after midnight. And so it was. I walked inside. As I walked around the store, and I saw all the different packages of meat, all kinds of meat, I saw the milk and the different types of drink. And then I saw a lot of byproducts that really wasn't food, but something that scientists had gotten together to substitute for food. The Lord spoke to my heart and He said, son, He said, look what the world feeds off of. He said, here's meat of quality. Here's milk of quality, but look at the byproducts. He said, them that come in that don't want to pay the price, that can't afford to pay for the good stuff, He said, they have to take the byproducts. Though we are grateful, even though the poor takes the byproducts in the natural, yet they get the true in the spiritual. But the rich, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. The rich can pay the price for the best because they're type of the bride in allegories. But they get the byproducts in the end. And I looked at it and I thought, Lord, no wonder there's so much stomach trouble. No wonder there's so much sickness in the world. When I see all of these things, the Bible said the table of the Lord is filled with vomit. And I see the church world feeding off of these things and not able to get the real meat of the Word and the real milk of the Word. No wonder there's so much sickness to illustrate and to show the condition, the sickening condition of the body of Christ. The Lord pointed me toward the clock. And He said, it's almost midnight. No more food after midnight. So did you see that policeman standing back there? The law closes the door. Even the man that runs the store, though he would desire to let you in, the law closes the door. When God shutteth, no man can open. Friend, we might stand like Abraham did, look at the rich man who was in hell and desire to give him, but the law says no. The preachers won't give you nothing when the law says no. They can't get it. God will close the door. And did you know the door to the Gentile church is closing? Give me just a minute to say this and I'll try to close. What are the doors? The Bible said the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. And the gates of hell are the people out yonder that open wide their evil talking minds to draw people into those gates, down into the regions of the damned. And then He said to you and I, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory will come in. We're the doors tonight. This gospel is the doorway. Jesus said, I'm the door. We are the body of Christ and we are the Word. We are the door tonight. And the world has to come to God the Spirit through us by our testimonies and preaching. But have you noticed that the doors are closing? Because the world loves darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, because they have no hunger after the spiritual things of God, they're turning their back to God. God is closing the doors.
The ministers are losing their desire to preach. That's true, I know that for a fact. The people are losing their desire to testify on the jobs. They don't want to cast pearls before swine. The doors are closing to the Gentiles. What's happening? God is turning back to the Jew. Turning back to the Jew. How can it be illustrated, Brother Pike? By this one thing, people. You are a spiritual Jew. You know that. God is turning away from the world and turning to the spiritual Jew. Turning to the spiritual Jew to edify him unto the rapture. Signifying that he's turned back to the natural Jew. Leaving the world alone. Are you being edified tonight? Are you? Are you? I want you to gather around the altar with me for just a minute tonight. You don't have to stay long, but just a few minutes. The Bible said, take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. You say, I'm tired. I know you are. And you say, I'm weary. I know you are. But the Bible said, take time to be holy. We take time to work. We take time to eat. We take time to examine different things in the world for our own benefits. He said, take time to be holy. Friend, it's the midnight hour. It's the midnight hour, and the cry is going forth. Go ye forth to meet the bridegroom. Arise and shake yourself. Oh, the Bible said when Lot told them that down in Sodom and Gomorrah, they mocked. They laughed at him. When Noah said, get into the ark, the rain's coming, they laughed at him. When Lot said, get out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they laughed at him. Even his own family laughed at him. The preacher's own family is mocking him today. But nevertheless, the fire came. The fire came to consume the chaff. And the fire's coming, friend. You can count on that. This is the hour of darkness. You can see it in the types and the shadows and the allegories all around you. The world is in a state of chaos. There is trouble such as the world had never known. He said in that hour there will be trouble. There will be tribulation like has never been since the beginning of the world. Wars and rumors of wars, nations against nation, pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Men shall be heady and high-minded, lovers of self and pleasure more than lovers of God, despisers of them that do good, truce-breakers. All of these things that were to come. Instead, they'd be incontinent, fierce. And the Bible tells us those same traitors of righteousness would rise up in the last days and persecute the church. What is it? We're at the end of the way. We're at the end of the way, friend. What can we do? What can we do? I want to be ready, don't you? If you're not ready tonight, if you don't have the all tonight, then if there's any possible way to get it, get it. Get it, friend. God was lenient even at the 11th hour. He was still hiring him into the vineyard. He went just as close as he could. Get it if you can. Let's lift our voices up to God tonight in prayer, in divine meditation, and ask God to come on the scene tonight. Ask Him to help us. Oh, there's so many things He'd like to say to us, but I, as well as you, are dull of hearing. Let's open the ears of our understanding, the eyes of our understanding, that we might be ready. Said the wise would understand, but the foolish would not understand. The wise would understand. And so it is we understand. He said, they shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And we know that it's nigh. It's at the door, friend. And this gospel is gone into all the world for a witness. Then the end shall come. We're at the end. We're at the end. God has brought us to the end. You are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, the writer said. You are the people.